Please be seated. Shall we pray? Father eternal, giver of light and grace, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for your living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray as we reflect upon your word this morning, you help us to understand it and enable us to apply your word in our lives. Father, we thank you once again for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The most remarkable detail of the Christmas story was made known to the shepherds by the angel. And I find it to be incredibly simple. Had we been writing it up, we would have been tempted to exaggerate and we have adorned it with several adjectives. And in fact, it's a temptation that no one has been able to resist since. We have added Santa Claus, Christmas fathers, Christmas tree, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We have added so many things. But God knew what he was doing when he chose a family doctor to write the story of Christmas. A man used to writing prescriptions to be precise, to stating the facts. And this family doctor called Luke has written the most marvelous account of the story of the coming of the Lord into our world. And this sermon of an angel of the Lord preaching to the shepherds that night might be the greatest sermon ever preached. Let's hear it again. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and laying in a manger. And this is what we sang in our gradual hymn. Greater news had never been spoken. In all the history of the world, no greater news had ever been proclaimed than this, that God himself had taken on human flesh to be our Savior. Think about it. There simply could be no greater news than this. Read through the entire Old Testament and look for all the good news. There is plenty of it. But the greatest news proclaimed in the Old Testament is that a Savior, Christ, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And we have read from Isaiah's book, 1,000 years before Christ. And he writes, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders." And Micah, in his book that we read in our 9 lessons carol service, he says the Bethlehem, a little town of Bethlehem, where from the Messiah will come. So that is the greatest news in the Old Testament, such good news. But now the angel of the Lord gets to proclaim something even better. That's a Savior who is Christ the Lord is now here. He is born for you, and this good news is for all people. I want you to think of the many ways God has reached out to us to communicate with us since the beginning of time. All through the centuries of the Old Testament, God pursued his people like a lover. But we had broken the covenant, and God had to make a new unbreakable one with us. For this new covenant, God would become flesh and bones like us, and shed his blood in the person of Jesus to convince us once and for all to accept his invitation to be his people. Jesus was the climax of God's reaching out to us. And Jesus is the final revelation of God. There is no revelation beyond Jesus. The letter to the Hebrews expresses it beautifully. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. Dear friends, God has spoken to us. The Word has become flesh. Let us allow God's Word to sink into our hearts. In today's reflection, perhaps we can consider just a single verse in the Gospel, one that both challenges our love and acts as a sign of God's humble and abiding love for us all. Because there was no place for them in the inn. Because there was no place for them in the inn. I guess Joseph must have asked for help, speaking on behalf of both Mary and Jesus, who is in her room still. She seeks entrance to the homes and lodgings of those in Bethlehem. Although the Jewish people in those days placed a high obligation upon the duty of hospitality to the stranger and passerby, the answer probably repeatedly given is, "Sorry. Sorry, no room here. No place here." It was indeed a cold night, not so much in terms of the air temperature, but in terms of the hearts of the people. Surely someone could make room for a heavily pregnant woman, but no. No place at the inn. Yes, it is a cold night. The only warmth to be found is amongst the animals. So that's what they did. The whole thing seemed very mundane, even dirty. And yes, it is. It is the total opposite of what we expect. We would have expected a golden cradle and every comfort possible. What we notice here in the Nativity account of the Gospel is that surely God has stooped low to come from a lightsome heaven to our worn-torn, dark, cold world. Yes, for God stoops. He stoops to the lowest place to find him and be with him. We too must be willing to stoop. God hates pride. He just can't stand it because he sees what it does to us. The Bible says pride goes before destruction. He comes to break his back not with clubs and swords or by overpowering, but with humility and love. Darkness cannot defeat darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot defeat hate. Only love can do that. Pride cannot defeat pride. Only humility can do that. So God stoops. Today, God calls us with this same humility and love. He would have ridden down through heaven on a lightning bolt and stunned us into fearful submission. Instead, he goes to the lowest place. And by the way, there were three Bethlehems. And this tiny town, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, nobody actually, you know, not many people knew about this. He came to that place. He comes quietly, not violently, without threat, as an infant, even in this lowly way, though he is still calling. Scripture says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." So today's gospel tells us that because there was no inn, no place for them in the inn, it was a symbolic of what was to happen to Jesus. The only place where there was room for him was on a cross. He sought an entry to the overcrowded hearts of the people. He couldn't find it, and still his search and his rejection go on and on. How strange and sad for this world that God simply doesn't fit in. He doesn't fit our agendas. He doesn't fit our motives, our goals, our schedules, our priorities, no place. God just doesn't fit. I hope and pray that this Christmas season and in 2025, God will fit in every agenda. God will fit our motives. God will fit in our goals. Because he didn't fit when he came. Last night we read from John's Gospel where it says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. What of us? Is there room for Jesus in the inn of our hearts? If there is, Jesus comes bearing many gifts: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, abundant life, and above all, eternal life.
Amen.
What good is to us if Jesus is laid in a manger in Bethlehem, if he is not also cradled in the manger of our hearts? What good is it to us if the shepherds go to see this thing that has taken place, if we do not also see in our lives this thing that has happened? 2,000 years ago, God looked down into a broken world and described the mess that people had made of it. God loved them anyway. There is a beautiful verse in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrated his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. So today, we celebrate that love coming into the world, not as a conquering army, but as a little baby. A new life that would change everything. 2,000 years later, we still mess up this world. But 2,000 years later, the story is still the same. God still loves us. God still chooses to come into this world. God still gives us light that is bright enough to overcome any darkness. And each Christmas, God also gives us a choice. How we are going to respond to that love. Make room for Jesus, friends. Every second, every minute, and every year, he comes knocking.
He stoops low and invites us to find him in the lonely places of this world, in the lonely places of our own life. What are the things in your life that may be crowding out Jesus? What obstacles and preoccupations leave little or no place for him? Today is the day of gifts, and Jesus stoops low to give us a priceless gift, the power to become children of God. Is there a place in the inn of your heart? Receive Jesus, don't be like the innkeeper. When the love of God comes to your front door, don't say there is no room at the inn. But instead say, come Lord Jesus. As we celebrate the birth of the Christ child, let us remember his humility and love. And let us remember that what he came to do. He is born for us. He is crucified for us. He is risen from the dead for us. And this is why the angel preaches, do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and laying in the manger. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.